You're listening to Coriander Society Adventures, a Casters and Castles production. This is Episode 2, The Donahue Institute. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Coriander Issue 2. I'm Torment by Gnomes. I'll be your Game Master this evening. Joining me is my fantastic cast, which consists of Beatdown Casts, Ninja Man Matt, and Pods of War. How is everybody doing this fine evening?
We're doing so good. We're not nervous at all.
Not at all.
Absolutely not. What?
We're great.
I don't even know what that word means.
Should have got a drink to calm the nerves.
That's an
excellent
idea.
I heard tea is very good for that.
I have coffee and water, so we're good.
All right.
Did everybody get two drinks? Because that's what...
No, I forgot. I still have just the water. I forgot to get tea or coffee.
So do
today.
I. Also, I really feel the need, like I'm obligated to bring up that coffee isn't really great for nerves. Just, you know, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I know. It's like some sort of sick cycle I can't get rid of. I need coffee at all times.
You know what? Fair enough. Can't argue.
I ran out of coffee. And because, I know. Yeah, that's how I felt. And because.
Joseph, you?
It's been rough.
You don't.
I've been getting by on tea for a long time.
You been out of coffee?
Cow?
In the backyard, I've just got like
coffee
an
cow.
Herb garden, you know, just growing my own coffee, keeping the grow lights on it, hoping I don't get raided.
Dash. So you jest, but in your mind, I can just tell you're like, how feasible is that?
Some people want to own a winery or their own vineyard.
God.
But like for the last few days, I've been going by with tea. So I've been chill, but like not productive.
Yeah, you've also been.
Yeah,
on every single stream, just constantly yawning the entire time.
You can tell Joe hasn't had his fix when he's yawning.
Exactly.
There's a store that sells coffee.
You know, I heard that they will deliver it to your home if you give them money. That's
oh my God, that's two today I learns in one shot right there. Thank you guys.
Your ideas intrigue me and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter. So, in case you missed our last episode, our heroes are in Northport, in a world not unlike our own back in the 1930s, but a world filled with fedora-wearing gangsters, fedora-wearing adventurers wielding whips, jetpack mad scientists not wearing fedoras most of the time, and costumed superheroes. It is a larger-than-life world of action and adventure, and in our last session, our heroes came across the scene of an attempted assault or abduction and the scene of a successful murder. A mysterious woman escaped from the scene. A group of local mobsters was involved. So now they're on the trail of the mysterious angel killer who's been active in the city of Northport over the last few months, years, perhaps. They met up with Detective John Carmichael. Our heroes are, we've got Gaston, who's in it by day. He's a prop maker and a scene set designer for the movies. By night, he's a dashing and daring inventor who fights crime because the law won't. And we have Asena, who's a badass martial artist who was literally raised by wolves, finding her way in the concrete jungles of Northport. John Carmichael... Swear? Sorry, go ahead.
Wait, can we swear?
I hope to hell so. I was doing it like all last session.
Yeah, this show's rated PG-13.
Oh, okay.
You get one F-bomb and a lot of
health. Yeah, and so they have met up with John Carmichael, a grizzled, burned-out detective, and together they are following up on some clues to help them track down the killer. We've all had the chance to have a night's rest. Hit points and special abilities you have are restored. If you spent hit dice, the two of you who had a steak dinner short rest to recharge last time, you get two hit dice back on a long rest. Go ahead and get yourselves fully restored, get all patched up and ready to go, because and one last question. Asena was going to get a bottle of liquor from places. Assuming that went down, what are the odds that each of you are
Not me.
No, definitely not me.
I don't get hangovers.
Must be nice.
Well, actually, you know what? I'd like to make a constitution save.
Okay.
If
maybe we
mind.
All should.
I mean, Gaston doesn't drink, so I feel like he's just chilling.
Oh, you're safe then.
Exactly.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, man. I thought actually I'd be pretty good at that, but I'm not. I'm going to roll it anyway.
Yeah, you committed.
but I'm not. Oh, well, very well. No, John also doesn't get hangovers, presumably.
Vomit 3 since
I think you owe experience
23.
Already.
Everyone gains 1 XP. I had my mute on. Probably because I didn't want the clinking of and the drinking and the slurping in the mic.
It adds to the experience since we're drinking.
Exactly. Yeah. Precisely. All right. The next day, early-ish in the morning, let's say around 8 a.m. or so, a car lines up a long driveway towards a palatial estate. The neighborhood of Greenvine is where the old money of Northport lived. Founding families, the ones who made their wealth, but the city was still being established. Old Commonwealth. As opposed to across the way, where sort of the new money, the people who, the stars, people making their money in the movie industry, they tend to live in Hillvale. But this place, the Donahue Institute for Extraordinary Talents, is located in Greenville. You drive up this winding driveway. It's lined with statues based on the statues of antiquity of old, fountains. The yard is impeccably kept nice and green. There are flower beds and gardens nearby. The drive up to the main entrance winds, it's a roundabout around huge fountain in the middle. In order to get here in the first place, you had to pass an iron fence that's pretty heavily patrolled. And there's a lot more activity here at this mansion than one would normally see for just a fancy rich person's house. There's all sorts of students on the grounds making their way from buildings that have been erected probably in the last several months, hastily but tastefully designed to be dormitories, classrooms. The campus
now,
is
now, wait, are we talking like bungalows, you know, when you go to like a new school and there's like, oh yeah, we're eventually going to actually build the next wing, but it's just like for 10 years or more, just bungalows out back.
Or is it just like one, oh, okay, no, that's what it is. Okay.
Or is it really nice, like it's hastily built, but it's got foundations and stuff.
Yeah, it's
one giant mansion where everybody just lives in small rooms, not small rooms, but it has like dozens and dozens of rooms in
Yeah. The house is definitely big enough to house many, many, many people, but there's also some, they're not bungalows, they're not barracks. It's clear that construction is ongoing, but there's a lot of hubbub and activity on the property.
Gotcha.
You are escorted. Once you arrive there, you have an appointment, but only two people step out of the car, because even though John Carmichael used his credentials to get you in, he himself does not feel welcome on the property. Now, John, remind me how you set up this meeting with Opal Donahue.
Okay, so here's the thing. Opal and John may be a bit on the outs right now, but they're still friendly. It's mostly a commercial or business thing. Like, they kind of can't be seen together anymore, but they still have a lot of history. They go way back, and John has a lot of dirt on Opal. She appears to be this very prim and proper heiress, and she is in a lot of ways, but there is quite a lot that the mainstream media does not know about her, and John helps keep it that way. And so by continuing to stay silent and be her confidant, and maybe greasing her palms a little bit in other areas, he was able to set this up and get it going.
Sounds uncomfortably sexual.
You know, I'm not trying to make it sound that way, but when you bring it up, I can't help but linger there a bit. So, look, let's just say that that John had to trim some stuff. All right.
Oh, that's worse.
No matter what I say.
No, I'm good. I'm cool. We're chill. We're chill.
The best part is that, Gaston, you seem like this person that is just like so straight faced and like and straight edge and just like, oh yeah, I would not dare insinuate. And then you yourself are just like, by the way, hey, 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 Gaston gives you the eyes of, ooh, what are you saying?
I one day I'm going to be able to do that. Just maybe XP. Lift the camera. Just hold on one sec. Let me just.
But yeah,
I'm just enjoying
yeah,
him muted right now.
How long was I muted?
A while. Oh. Dude, we're gonna be level six by the time we're done with this episode.
This does not look good for the Home Star Runner.
I think you need to just like absorb and enjoy the clinking of the glass.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be ashamed of it.
All right. As you pull up, another car is leaving. And a very well-dressed young man wearing driving gloves, sporting an umbrella. The weather's perfectly today. It was dark and stormy last night. But you've got that nice bright sun the day after rain with a few clouds in the sky. But the sky itself seems so clear. And it glistens really nicely off the green lawns of the mansion. You could swear that the moment you head back into the streets, the rain will come back. It just feels that way. But a very well-dressed man with a fine suit, well-fitting suit, driving gloves, jaunty hat, chiseled looks and such, is walking down the stairs of the mansion on his way out. He's got a very nice car, a fancy roadster pulled up for him. Valet emerges, gives him a bow, opens the door, ushers him in. I would like both Sena and Gaston to either roll history checks if you're proficient. Just roll history checks, whether or not you're proficient. Right, we have an 8 and a 5. All right. Gaston, you feel like you might know this guy. You might have maybe seen his face in the paper or something, but it's not ringing a bell.
I know who this guy is. I'm not there, though.
Yeah. He ducks into the car, and it pulls out, and you are escorted. You're greeted by a valet. They ask you your business. And once you go ahead and tell them that you're to meet Donahue, you're ushered into the opening hall, and it's one of those big, lots of polished dark wood, fine carpet, big old chandelier on top. You get the impression that if the windows were closed, it would be really dark, impressive, and ominous, but they're open, nice natural light, crystal chandelier, huge grand staircase. This is a foyer. This is a fancy, fancy place, and there are some fine benches for you to sit on while you for your appointment. You're going to be waiting for a little while. How does Gaston handle this?
Ooh, Gaston would like to kind of size the place up a little bit, trying to figure out, because, you know, rich people, especially obscenely rich people like Donahue, they're up to some shiz, you know?
All right.
So I was going to, like, wait. I kind of, like, take my time looking around. Not really feeling the most comfortable in such a nice place, but pretty much just gonna like plop on the floor.
There's like this really nice couch to sit on, and you're just on the floor on the rug.
Yeah.
Can I make like one amendment? Would Gaston know about Donahue? Because
history first and then investigation. History to see what you just happened to know. Investigation, I think, going to say before I rudely cut you off, was from your past investigations, etc.
Exactly. Also, I'm pretty sure I know everything.
Natural 20. Okay, so let's talk about Miss Donahue. The Donahue family is one of the founding families of North. They have lived here since it was founded, and they come from like old railroad money back in the day. However, about 22 years ago, Mr. and Mrs. Donahue vanished. They went on an expedition to the southern country, and they were never heard. And the only survivor of the family was Opal, who at the time was like 5 years old, maybe six. Oh. So she inherited the entire estate, and since then, so her whole life, she was raised from the age of like six in the lap of luxury. She's been very well educated. She has a reputation for charity and philanthropy. She's a socialite. She's heavily involved with the upper crust, but she almost comes across as naive, with an incredible sense of self-certainty. She's an idealist. She wants to make life better for people, confident that she can. Some of her past endeavors have involved Mercury City Hospital Memorial Fund. About 9 months ago, there was an explosion at Mercury Hospital, and she's been heavily involved in fundraising, charity galas, and theater events and operas and such to raise money for rebuilding the hospital for the families affected, etc. Her most recent endeavor is where you are right now. She used to live of her own choice in a upscale penthouse in Newton, which is across the bay. And that's sort of where people who didn't want to bother with having a big old fancy mansion, right? It was a very popular sort of.
You okay, Joe? You're muted. Okay, good. Just
no,
sure.
he's talking to someone, yeah.
He said one second.
Oh. I missed that.
It's okay.
Hey, Gaston.
Hi.
We're in somebody else's house.
Yeah, we sure are. You just keep doing what you're doing. I'll be back.
What? You're going to leave me? Where are you going?
For like 2 minutes. Don't worry.
So, one, thank you for your patience. I had an important offsides thing I had to take. This is the Donahue Estate. That's, again, it's this old mansion that's been around for at least 50, if not 100 years. Probably closer to 100. She didn't really live here. Like, she traveled all over and did her own thing, and she was very much involved with the new rich in the movie industry and social life downtown, exciting, much more modern. But she recently teamed up with another rich socialite from the Carrington family to establish this, which is a school that is a refuge for people who are affected by the strange events that have taken place over the last 20 or so years. You might say it is a school for gifted youngsters of sorts.
An institute, one might say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
cool.
As these people have been developing these powers and superheroes have come to Northport, a lot of people have been capturing them, hunting them, either out of fear or usually out of some desire to harness their special abilities for nefarious purposes. So this is a school for superheroes in an old mansion. You may have heard this one.
Something definitely does ring a bell, but you also said to roll investigation?
Yes. Although, I mean, mostly I was going to have you roll investigation because that's so much better than history. Your history was already phenomenal.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Cool.
But you may have investigated her in the past. Like, everything I just told you is just news, right? It's, read your newspaper. If you're up to date, that's news. With regards to your investigations, you haven't turned up a whole lot of dirt on her. It is rumored that she is secretly dating a brilliant young architect from the Carrington family, which is another very wealthy family that is much more shrouded in mystery and intrigue, and is co-sponsoring this But again, aside from that, her name is generally pretty clean. She doesn't end up in a lot of criminal activity. She's not connected to a lot of organized crime. She's mostly been off your radar, aside from being a young heiress who shows up a lot of fancy events and is therefore in.
Okay. I feel like Gaston would still like to take a little time, because, you know, it's a really rare opportunity to just be in the Institute, and it's, I feel like he's jaded enough that he's like, nobody's this squeaky clean. I gotta look a little bit more, just a little bit.
I would like to add that when John set this up, he's like, okay, you two, you're getting set up as my protege. You're getting set up as a gifted. You guys need to get in, get the information, and get out. Don't linger.
But it's totally okay that you go and
do whatever you want. Just John set it up as don't snoop around. You're like, you know, I'm going to go snoop around.
Guess who's not here right now?
That's definitely what I wanted to do next. Just like see if there's any like books and such, or just poke around.
Sure. Let's go ahead, since Gaston just went through his mental inventory of everything that he knows about Opal Dawn. Mm-hmm. Let's give Asena an opportunity to skulk about the mansion. So you're currently on the floor, just chilling, ignoring the fine couch. There's some statues.
It's a nice rug.
Right? It is a very fine rug, authentic, imported. There's statuary around. There's a couple of plants growing here. There's a fountain, two side fountains at the sides of the grand entryway. Staircase. What do you want to poke around and do?
Ooh, probably check out the fountains.
Okay.
I'm gonna go walk over, sort of like touch the water, maybe drink from it. Oh, God. A little bit.
All right. History of water chlorination. Regular use began around the beginning of the 20th century. Okay, yeah, it's a little they put something in here to prevent it from getting gross, so not tasty.
Don't drink the water.
Not like the waterfalls where you grew up. There anything else that is
what else
wants
was
to
there?
Do?
I got distracted by the water, forgot if there anything else existed.
No worries. Well, from this foyer, there are a number of doors that lead outwards. There's a ballroom. There's a grand dining hall. There's a sunroom on the back that sort of overlooks the courtyard. But there's people all over the place. Like, this is a busy, busy location.
Yeah. I want to go check out the sunroom.
Okay. There is a butler sort of generally politely keeping an eye on the two. Your measure of him, just from your primal instinct, that this is just a enforcer of the local pish-posh rules of society. This is neither a warrior nor a true sentinel. You could probably get the better of him. How would you want to deal with this person who's here to prevent you from wandering off?
I think I'm just gonna like smile at him and just see if he's really gonna say anything if I walk away.
Okay.
I love it.
All right.
I'll just like smile and nod and address that he's there, but not say
hello,
anything.
You exist. Yeah. All right, roll a persuasion check.
I lost my stuff.
It happened.
It do be like that sometime.
Does Gaston also notice that individual?
Oh yeah, the butler is clearly here to make sure that our guests have everything they might need and stay the hell where they are.
Sounds like a lie.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. I had to refresh it.
Survey says 16. Okay.
Pretty good.
He is about to open his mouth to say something, and then you smile at him. He just sort of... And you can see him craning his neck to watch, a little bit distressed, but know when somebody just does something completely out of left field and you feel like you should say something, but you're just taken aback, so you
just
that's sort of what's going on right now. There was something there he didn't expect. Beatdown, were you going to say something?
Senna gets that a lot.
So does that mean he's paying attention to her more than me?
Yeah, he's distracted. If you're going to sneak out, you'd get advantage on that roll right
now. Oh, that's tough. That's tough. I'm really on the fence here, because even though this is a rare opportunity, we came here for a specific reason, and I can already tell that Asena is about to screw all of that up. So I actually think Gaston definitely thinks to himself, like, wait a second, that guy's watching us. I left Asena by herself. Asena, of all people, what am I doing? And then he's just going to go back. I actually think I want to go up to Asena and be like, hey, look, we should probably just go back. That guy's watching us. Remember, we came for
him. He seems really friendly, though. Like,
he's not. It's not.
Okay, so are you in the same room with me now?
I think we've been in the same room.
Well, she just walked out to the sunroom, which is clearly visible from here, sort of on the ground floor. So she's already left the room, and you just sort of duck past and join her.
Yeah.
So here in the sunroom, like I said, it's on the back of the house. That the house is sort of shaped like a U. The front of the U is towards the driveway. So the back of the U encapsulates an open courtyard. There are some tennis courts set up there where people are playing tennis. There's a nice green open area for events. There's a couple of exercise areas. You can see people exercising. You can see people running, playing various sports, walking back and forth from one wing to the other with their backpacks and their books, talking to each other. You can hear somebody practicing the violin in there. Find like a little topiary wall, you know, a hedge, essentially.
Ooh.
For the most part, people are just going back and forth about their business. Lots of young folks. I wouldn't say lots, maybe a few dozen. Probably wouldn't see a few dozen at best. And I don't know if this is the type of environment that you would have been in before, Asena. Aside from it being obscenely wealthy, it's this, you know, private school academia sort of vibe to it. So it's not an environment you...
Right. I'm going to, like, walk over to the window and just be like, this seems to be a lot of... some sort of learning place? I don't even know. What is happening here?
Big sigh. Big sigh from Gaston.
Both of you roll perception checks.
Perception. God. Oh.
I pushed it.
Pain.
Do it again. Wow.
All right. So, Asena, you notice a young man who his clothes are not fitting him well. He's wearing a uniform. Everyone's sort of in very modest, simple school uniform, and his doesn't fit him very well. He's got some smudges of grease on him. His clothes are wrinkled in different places, and he is working on something. There's a little garage at the back of the complex. He's got the door open, and he's working on a car that's up on blocks. Its wheels are removed. He's sliding in and out underneath it, wedging things. You notice him frown. He just he holds up his wrench like he's going to hit the car, stops, puts his hand on it, and starts talking to it. And a moment later, it goes, and he wipes the sweat off of his brow.
Gaston, did you just see that?
I mean, I feel like technically I didn't.
Yeah, he did not.
I swear, that guy, he just talked to that big old machine. And it made a really loud noise.
Machine?
I'm like pointing out at the window so that way he can see this person that's like in the garage.
He just talked to the machine.
Yeah, yeah. What is that thing?
What am I what am I looking at? Because I imagine a Senna can't actually describe it to me.
She can point. There's a garage. There's a guy working on, again, he's dressed up in the school uniform, but he's totally, you recognize a mechanic when you see a mechanic. He's tinkering with this car. It's up on blocks, no wheels. The engine's running. He opens up the hood to look at it, nods, shuts the hood.
Oh, okay. No, he's not talking to the car. He's fixing the car. He's a mechanic.
Car.
Yes. Car. We came in a car.
We did come in a car. A car. That's what it's called. Okay. I saw him.
Yes.
Talk to the car. Car roared. Loud noise.
That's what they do. Remember, our car did that exact same thing. Oh man. Was it like
I feel my like car or something that we took? You think I'm dumb, but this is what happened, okay?
I did not.
And we should check say out that. Him.
Check out him, eh? I feel like we should do what we came here first, and if there's time, we can check that guy out, okay? Does that sound good?
I would just like to point out that I got my balls busted for trimming a bush, and then you just let her say the phrase, we came in a car, and did that on it. I just want to put that out there.
That's because it's you, Matt. That's because it's you.
I feel like that's like reaching a little bit, like grabbing cookies off the top shelf, reaching. But like, I see the logic. I'm with you.
Go grab the cookies off the top shelf.
If you know what I mean.
If I would have said that, I would have been thrown under the bus.
Maybe. I'm going to throw you under the bus.
If you know what I mean.
Sorry, go ahead. Back on track.
If you know what I mean.
Vanessa, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do agree that we are here for a meeting, but something's going on here. I mean, Carmichael said that this was a place for the gifted, right? So these people have powers.
You have powers?
Well, I feel normal.
Okay. I mean, understandably so, but normal for you and normal for me, for example, I can't do. I'm going to say 80% of the stuff you can do.
Yeah, same. Like,
do you remember? Right?
Okay, fair. I'm just pointing out that guy talked to the car, and maybe that's going to come in handy. There's probably a ton of people that we could make friends with here that would be very nice.
Maybe, but also, they're all kids, and we're adults, so if you really think about it, this is just really creepy. And
What's wrong with kids?
A woman are probably fine, but me as a male trying to befriend children will get me imprisoned immediately and likely forever. So as a guy who really likes the outside, I really think we should just go back and get ready for the meeting. Yeah? Yeah? I told you. We'll investigate the guy if we get the chance. But we
should
go.
That's weird. But
like now.
Fine.
It's weird. There's a lot of weird things here. You'll learn eventually. God, I have to teach you all this, don't I?
We'll go back and we'll walk back to that main room.
All right. The butler, as you pass right in front of him, he does his very best to remain dignified and give you a nod, but there's this palpable relief. Oh, thank God. I don't have to say anything. They're back. Moments later, he will invite you upstairs to Miss Donahue's study, where she will be happy to speak with you. You go up the fine, gigantic, grand staircase, down a hallway. Again, nice carpet on the floor, a couple suits of armor along the way, hanging mini chandeliers and candelabras to provide light, along with electrical. It was refurbished a while ago, so it has electrical. And you enter a vast room that is directly over the sunroom, and one of the walls is almost all glass. Again, lots of natural light coming in, and Miss Donahue is behind the desk. She has long, impeccably kept red hair. She clearly has a fantastic skincare routine. It's a thing that wealthy people have when they can just spend all day on that and have people help them out with it. She's wearing a dress that's sparkly. It's not sequins. Maybe it's like bits of glass. You're not sure. It probably would be more suited to a fancy ball or a gala than like running a school. But regardless, she's very polite. People. Yeah. Very polite. Welcomes you in. They've got two chairs pulled up. Nice old teak chairs with cushions on them. There's a glass of, there's a bottle of wine and glasses out. A little plate of finger sandwiches. And she invites you to take a seat and sits behind the desk. It's not an enormous desk. It's a very elegant, more modern designed desk. There is a huge, ornate, polished old wood desk sort of off to the side, covered in books and newspapers and stacks of stuff.
Okay.
Welcome, please. Donahue, Opal, and I don't know if I got your name.
Gaston.
Hello, I'm Asena, and I love your dress. It's so shiny.
Thank you. You may have seen it on the recent magazine cover that just came out. It's sort of a new cut, giving it a try. Seeing.
Magazine.
Did she pull?
Yes.
Gives you a brief look, and then takes a seat and pulls out a letter that John quickly scribbled on a piece of coffee-stained paper that he had just, it's a little bit crumpled as well and folded.
It's a napkin.
All right, so.
But a really nice dinner napkin. He stole it from one of the bars he was at, and that's why it's not washed.
Of course he did.
It's not from Wound. Know that much.
Mm-hmm. He wouldn't dare. No, he wouldn't dare take it from Wound.
She reads
be wounded.
Over it a moment. And... All right, so. Sena, I was that you might have a place here at our school. Perhaps some unique skill sets or abilities that you explore in a safe environment.
I'm gonna sit on the chair and then like grab one of the finger sandwiches and just like shove it in my mouth and just like nod.
My superpower is eat sandwich.
Okay, all right. And then she looks over the napkin. And you can see her, she's holding it delicately, right? She's like, her nails are impeccably done as well. And so there's this huge contrast between the crumpled up thing and just the nice light red sort of tone to her nails. And she's peeling it apart where it got stuck to itself. And Gaston, it says here that you have a background as a private investigator. Tell me a little bit about your work experience.
Just thinking, do I want to lie? Yeah, I'm gonna lie. She doesn't need to know. Yeah, so a lot of my work experience has actually been under John, believe it or not. He kind of took me under his wing, kind of protege. Teacher, I guess. I don't know what the other word is, but yeah. So he's kind of been training me. Most mentor. Thank you. Voice in my head. So yeah, he's been, you know, we've been working together on a bunch of cases, mostly small stuff. And then he sent me your way because we were working on something very specific.
Interesting. Would you say that your specialty or your expertise investigate cases?
I have no preference. As long as someone has done something, as long as someone has broken the law, I want to know about it.
She pulls out a nice, fancy paper, fountain pen. That's writing a couple. Sena, tell me more about yourself.
Sena's like a little uncomfortable because she doesn't want to say too much, Well, I was, I'm pretty, I didn't grow up in Northport, but, I have made my way around. I'm currently working as a lounge singer.
Oh, music, lovely.
Yes, I, haven't been formally trained in music, but it is something I would like to learn more about. She's kind of just trying to, like, buy time and not talk about, like, what she can really do. Yeah.
Actually, I couldn't buy it. Excellent. Bath. No expense spared in that. Probably get private lessons. Does happen.
Sometimes when I'm done singing, the people that were listening.
I know what you're going to say.
I'm scared.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's just so good. I love what you're doing. It's just so good.
Sometimes when I'm done singing, the person that owns the establishment will give me something for my time, like a lamp or a jacket or some sort of jewelry, something shiny that I can keep.
And people clap afterwards.
Yes, that usually people happens. Clap and they smile, which is pretty magical.
Yes, there's magic in all music. She's visibly confused. At
on the napkin, by the way, mate, it says she punches real good.
Oh no.
All right, Sena. I know that people with unique talents aren't always created in the old end. When they are, it's often by people who want to use them for money or for their own purpose. But this is a safe place where everyone is welcome, and people like you, ordinary gifts, are able to be themselves. Protected environment where you can explore these secrets about yourself, really hone them, come to terms without any of those dangers. I want to let you know it's okay to be honest. This is a safe, welcoming. Both of you roll sense motive checks.
Roll what, sorry?
Sense motive. Oh, it's insight.
Insight.
Isn't it? That, you that are was thinking, third edition. That was third edition, yep. Coming back to haunt me. Yeah. Yep. Insight.
It's funny, you said that. I didn't even skip a beat, and then I was like, wait a minute, that's not a thing anymore.
The old magic. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. She is being.
You were there when it was written.
She's being 100% sincere. She also thinks that your discomfort is because, she, like, in her head, it's, oh, I've seen this before. You're not really well, you know, ready to admit the truth about your incredible abilities. But I've talked to lots of gifted young people, and I know how to handle it. I will be warm and friendly and earnest. You get that entire read in this spiel.
And she doesn't realize it's making it worse by being so nice, yes, and polite and stuff.
Exactly. He's very confident about this.
So Asena's just going to sigh and just be like, I guess I'm like really strong and like I punch people and sometimes sure have good weapons. Turn wood into weapons.
Oh.
Wait, what? I didn't even know that.
I just met you yesterday.
Looks back and forth between the two of you at that interaction. Well, if you wouldn't mind, I would love to see that. After I ask Stone questions. Okay, Stone.
Yeah, Stone steps away from her.
You look down at your chair like, what?
No, because I heard her, because she said a demonstration, and I'm like,
Okay, all right. That's a little bit better. So, Gaston.
if you've worked closely with John, and he never mentioned having a protege. I know he worked. That was very much likened close to the. But if he's discussed our previous arrangement, then he may have informed you work I'm interested in has less to do with legal enforcement and more to do with locating at-risk, specifically candidates for attendance here at my school, and helping them deal with some of the dangers that they may face. Now, some of these dangers, they're always, I'd like to think that protecting the vulnerable is always the oral thing to do. Fortunately, those who are attempting to exploit the vulnerable aren't always on the wrong side of it. So I'm looking for somebody with a very keen sense of right and wrong that isn't necessarily.
Oh, we're going to get along just fine.
Excellent, excellent. She jots down some. Can you discuss any previous cases that you've worked on?
I think it'd be best to tell you what I'm currently working on, because you talked about helping at-risk individuals, and I think that's pretty much what we're trying to do right now. So I guess how would I go about this? Because does she really need to know everything? Because we're looking for. Does she know? Who John's friend, whose name escapes me?
You don't know. You don't know if she knows.
I don't know. Okay. Well, we're just going to have to roll the dice figuratively on this one and say, what was his name again?
Foster Talon.
Foster Talon. Okay. Does the name Foster Talon mean anything to you, miss?
Roll insight. You can both roll on this. You're both pretty good judges of character.
Asena's
too busy looking around trying to find like an object that she can use as a demonstration to pick up on micro expressions. Here's a few things that go across Opal's face. Recognition. Mild distaste, not all the way over into disgust. A little bit of anger, resentment, mild anger and resentment, then moving into reluctant, begrudging acceptance.
Well, regardless of how you felt about him, ma'am, he's dead.
What happened?
We're still trying to figure that out. He definitely had, there was an interesting scene, to say the least, and we figure the ones who got him are going to look. They're not done, is what I'm getting at. And you're talking about helping at-risk people. Well, people who fit his, we'll say, description are currently at risk as well.
That's awful news. I wouldn't describe him as end of suit. But he's definitely contributed. One of our students actually saved great peril. In part thanks to, in part accident. He does have a knack for making enemies. I can think of a number of people who have their different foster.
We have reason to believe that's not the cause here. It seems like there are people going after individuals. And when I said description, I meant literally based on a certain description that Foster Talon happens to fit into. So the main reason, at least I'm here specifically, the reason John sent me here was because we need to find out who might know more about these killers. And if there are any potential victims, we can identify for, well, the obvious reason of tracking them down and preventing their grisly murder.
This lies your request while admirable lies a little bit outside the scope of what it is to do around here. But roll a persuasion check. Esto. 22. He did help save a life. He did help save a life.
Multiple lives.
Let me make some calls. I think I might be able to help. After we see what our friend Asena here can do.
Also, real quick, should I probably, like, give her the description so she knows who to look for?
Oh, when you mentioned, like, a physical description of Foster Talon, tall, dressed, light body odor,
not necessarily
permanently suspicious scowl, knack for mug breaking.
Unfortunately, that's my fault. Not quite what I meant by description. See, this is more of a, I want to say philosophical description that he happened to fit under. Was it Pride?
Mm-hmm.
Was that what we, yeah, there you go. Shoot, how would I describe this? It's more like people who, you know what, I think the best way we could go about this is if anybody who sums up Pride, the word pride to you, those are people we want to talk to.
Well, I mean, there's lots of people with a lot of accomplishments. Foster was rather single-minded. Not a whole lot to go off of. What I do think I could get you is access to mortuary coroner's report. I have friends in City Hall. Get you station. See if they just. But, I mean, the entire movie industry is based out of Northport. You're looking for people with a strong sense of self-confidence. You've got a very, very long list to go off of.
Don't I know it. Yeah, I mean, I guess that would be fine. Maybe they'll have something.
I mean, you are an investigator. I imagine that perhaps after they've gone through a full autopsy, they might have more information that you perhaps extract some sort of clue from. That's the sort of thing that John offered.
Yeah.
In mind, I bet that you could make some.
Well, let's hope I can.
All right. Now, Asena, you said something about turning wood into weapons.
So Asena's looking around. Can there be, like, maybe are there some candles around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So she's going to walk over to a place where she's looking for candles, and she sees, like, a matchbox nearby, and opens it and grabs a match, and then does her thing. So she's going to imbue it with some sort of magic.
So it takes a handful, because an individual match is sort of small. A handful of matches, as you hold them and focus, and your heart beats like it did when running through the forests where you grew up, and you smell fresh earth and the leaves, and you have the sound of rustling. Feel the soil beneath your feet from those memories. Feel the strength in the earth itself drawn up through you like roots, flowing outwards into this bundle of wood. They merge together. There's a crackling sound. And as they merge together, the wood, the pale wood of the matches, darkens into this dark, dark brown, almost black, smooth, polished, but gnarled wood. And it grows, and little branches and leaves pop out of it until this gnarled weapon is in your hands, probably about a foot and a half, 2 feet long. It looks like it's polished. It's got a nasty barb at one end and a thick knot at the other that you can use for clubbing people. And it is alive, and you feel that life ready to grow, ready to strike in your hands. Opal looks at this and is delighted. How does Gaston respond?
He's just very quietly mouthing to himself.
Sena, you have a very special gift. I've never seen this. Is there anything else that you know about this power?
Not really. So you're saying that not everyone can do this?
Absolutely not. She grabs a bundle of the same matches and just squeezes them and drops them.
She doesn't really know what to say. She's just like sort of flattered, but also like doesn't really care for the attention.
Guess. I just really quickly say, for a guy who's seen a lot of crap, you're blowing Gaston's mind right now.
Would you like?
Would
Asena, I am. This school is a work of love, my passion project. And I care very deeply about it, but day to day running civic matters, and not the person. Help you learn more about it, discover it. But if you're willing, I'd like to introduce Headmistress.
I mean, I could meet her and talk to her, sure.
Perfect. While I'll go ahead and send word, Gaston, again, I'm willing to do you a favor out of recognition for Foster's contribution. But I am also looking, since our arrangement with Mr. Carmichael is no longer tenable, I am looking for somebody who can help us find other potential students for the Institute, save them from what danger they might be in, and introduce them to us. This is a long-term retainer sort of contract, and it is not work that I'd be offering just because rushed into past that happened. But to be completely upfront, that's what I'm looking for. I have an investigator who it takes to find people in danger, help them find us, care them safely. I would be willing to offer you longer term work on this, but there is something else in here. She switches from her neat, nice, fancy stationery and like sets it down and rubs off her hands and then grabs the sticky napkin again. Something about a building thing or being an inventor. What sort of craptions have you?
Okay, so Gaston's eyes light up a little bit before he, just very quickly calms down. I'm a prop maker, actually, trade. That's what I've been doing for a really long time. I'm definitely no stranger to building things. So if you are looking for, an inventor, pretty sure I can fit. I think I fit the bill.
What are some of your past creation?
The suit.
It looks at it.
It's made of. Yeah, it looks normal. Basically what it does is it's made of a special, I guess we'll call it polymer, that I designed that hardens upon impact. So let's say I were to get shot, I would take greatly reduced damage instead of bleeding on the sidewalk like one would normally expect.
Interesting.
You can test it out right now.
The door opens behind you. And the hair on the backs of both your neck immediately stands up.
Oh, God.
As someone else walks in.
I told you to get in and out.
Opal looks up and says, Hara, please. Another woman is now here. She is tall. She has silvery gray hair. Her skin is almost the same tone. She is wearing a dress that is well cut and formal, but also and clearly tailored specifically for her, but also means business. It's almost a combination of a suit and a dress. Walks in. Her hair is tied up. She's wearing spectacles. She's very strong in that sort of wire-like muscular sense. Zaina, the moment that you see her, you immediately get the impression that Opal is soft and from here and lives here and uses lots of nice words. She's like, you know, perfume. This woman is more like the air after a thunderstorm. She has a completely different element.
Was that wording intentional?
I mean, it's the closest thing that it makes sense for Asena.
Uh-huh. It's just very specific and reminiscent of a past event that's leading me to think things.
She walks in. Called Miss Donahue. Yes, Hara, this is Asena. She is the most recent applicant for our school. Look what she can do as you're just holding on to this stick. Hara looks over both of you. Her expression is very difficult to read. She locks eyes with Gaston for a moment. Then locks eyes with Asena for a moment. Then, Asena, are you wearing your amulet that you have from growing up?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't take it off.
Her eyes immediately go to that.
She's, Asena just kind of like frowns and just says, it's mine.
Should I be concerned about this situation? Should Gaston be concerned, rather?
There is an energy in the room that was not present before. Absolutely. There's some tension. Roll insight, both of you, if you'd like.
Certainly would.
Did I roll, or is that from last time?
You have rolled two in a row. Like, you've rolled twos on your insight twice now.
Lovely.
Asena just doesn't give a shakes of a lamb's tail. She's like, whatever, I don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm. Gaston, I don't think you gave me a new roll. I'm not sure.
Oh, 16? I did.
Is that 16 your new 16, roll?
16, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She is extremely hard to... She is extremely just like... And not in a dead sort of way, but in a very deliberate, you do not want to play poker with this person sort of.
In like a twilight way.
She.
Okay.
Go ahead, Gaston.
No, just because I'm remembering John's advice to get in and out. So I think I'm just going to like try and cut the conversation short here and be like, listen, Miss Donahue, thank you very much for your time. I will definitely consider that offer on another day. I can show you other things I have invented and we can talk, but, we do have to get going and Senna, let's get out of here. And, also I will be in touch for the whole going to the police station thing. Cause that would be awesome.
Of course she'll like write down, she doesn't have business cards. She has personal. Not invitation. There was like a fancy term.
Stationery?
In upper society, there's like, it's like a calling card, essentially. She has calling cards that she hands writes her information on. She'll go ahead and hand that to you and say she'll call in a favor and try to get you in. Hara has not broken eye contact with Asena. She sort of gets the measure of her looking at you. It's not a threatening look. It's hard to tell what it is, honestly. Both of you.
Asena's just gonna stare back.
All right.
It's just a staring match now.
She blinks after a moment, gives you a little nod. Roll perception checks, both of you. A Asena, you see her shut her eyes and take a deep breath, and her hand twitches for a moment. And she opens them again. Her pupils are huge, and they sort of focus back down on you. She looks at you for a moment. Looks at the amulet. Looks at the blackthorn staff in your hand. Then she turns to the side.
We should probably go.
Staring into the air for a moment. See her eyes narrow. She's looking at nothing in particular, just over off to your side. She cracks her hand. She reaches up as if stretching, cracks her hand. Exhales a bit of anger in her. Yeah. All right. And then
so you got the calling card thing, right?
Yeah, you got the calling card. The anger doesn't seem to be directed at you.
Even so, Ascendant's going to sort of just like grip her weapon a little bit tighter. She's in anticipation of using it.
Don't like that at all.
Ara looks back to you, Asena, and says, I think we could get further into this ability. I'd be more than happy to work.
Well, thank you for the offer. I will think about it.
Miss Donahue seems completely oblivious to the change in tone. Like, absolutely. Just sort of looks between the lot of you and says, well, been a pleasure meeting both of you. Please feel free to take some food with you for the way. Did either of you
want likewise
a glass of wine? I don't remember.
Good.
Miss Asena, I want to assure you that if you decide to come here and study with us, we would take care of everything you could possibly need and let you explore this to your heart's content. We have very safe preventative measures in place.
Asena will nod and just be like, okay.
Right. Are you rising to your feet and heading out?
Yeah. I'm already up, yeah. I'm just okay. trying to tug on her.
All right, you were already up.
But
Hara,
I can't move her, though. She's so strong.
Yeah.
Hara, real quick.
Yes.
Before you go on, I'd just like to add that from where everyone's sitting inside the room, on one of the windowsills, they can see Chester the cat, the purple and blue striped cat, just walking along the edge of one of the windows, just every now and then in and out of sight, just along the perimeter, just poking in, looking around, and just going on the outside of the windows.
And Asena's going to like try to get Gaston to notice the cat, but like not say anything and just like
we do this thing
eye
where
motions.
Every time Asena sees it, she's like, look, look. And Gaston looks and there's nothing there. And she's like, no, oh, seriously, it was there.
Look, we can talk about that later. Let's, you know, come on. Still trying to tug her. Still can't do it.
Right. Ara okay. waits perhaps a moment too long before getting out of the way. She doesn't stand there long enough to like actually block you, but just long enough for you to be like, is she going to move? And then she'll go ahead and step aside.
Hmm.
As you pass Gaston with your investigator's eye, you see that she has two really big pistols strapped to her belt underneath her coat. Not making any move to get to them, but they are very large weapons.
Large how?
It's like there's more going on than just the handle, the chamber, and the barrel. They've got some extra parts underneath them. They're in holsters, though, so it's hard to get a good read on them. It's not a design you're familiar with.
Not okay, unfamiliar? Never mind. Oh, I'm like, do I want to risk this? I feel like Gaston is super. Yeah, yeah, he's gonna do it on the way out. I feel like Gaston would just, as he's heading out the door, notices these pistols actually really quick. What was her name? Hara.
Hara.
Yes. Yes, Miss Hara. Really quick, if you wouldn't mind. Any chance I could see the weapons on your holster that you have under your dress? Because I've never seen a design like that.
Usually polite to buy a girl her first. What's on?
Have you ever asked a bear if you could look at its claws?
I mean, I feel like that's more or less what I'm doing.
Yeah, she
but
says,
yeah, I would like to clarify I meant the guns.
Yeah, but that's still her response.
Ah, perhaps soon then.
I'd be delighted.
And I'm just gonna very slowly and awkwardly backstep out.
He's just sort of watching you with every single step as you move along the way.
Oh God.
All right. You have vacated the study. There's a servant standing outside in the hall right next to a suit of armor. Shall I bring the car around for you, friends?
Please.
Right this way. And he'll go ahead and usher you, unless you're going to make any attempt to skedoodle away. He's going to usher you out to the front.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Santa, doing anything? Still clutching this blackthorn staff that's like the leaves are slowly twisting on it.
Oh yeah. She's still clutching it. She's gonna make her way over to the rug and like look at it. Think about it. Think about taking it. She's gonna decide against it and just walk over.
Wait, taking what?
The rug. The entire rug.
Oh. Yeah.
Wait, you're gonna take it?
It crossed her mind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then just leave it, and then we can leave.
Right.
Thank God.
When you get out to the roundabout around the giant fountain in the center, a car pulls up. It's one of those old school cars with double doors that open, like the front doors open like our cars, but then the back doors are what they call suicide doors, where they open outwards in the wrong direction. Mm. The butler will go ahead, open the door with a bow and say, please have a most pleasant day.
Also, the cat, Chester, as soon as you guys walk outside, drops from the second story and just follows you, just trailing right next to, between the two of you, and just hops right in the car as soon as the door is open.
Can I see this?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you can.
Oh, isn't that...
I told you it was here. I was trying to tell you.
I'm going to ask John about that later. Let's just get in the car.
All right. Go ahead.
Gaston, have you noticed that you can't feel this cat?
I've never tried. You can't feel it?
The
butler closes the door. And the car sort of, it was already on, but it starts pulling down. You're both in the back seat. The car starts pulling away. Not quite a limo, but it's like designed to do the same thing, just in a more roadster style. As you continue to discuss the cat, and it pulls down the street.
I'm just going to pet the cat, or attempt to. And then I'm...
Joe, what's the inside of the car look like?
Leather seats. It's got two sets of seats that are facing each other in the back, again limo style, and there is a privacy separator up front that's currently open. You can see the driver sitting up there, but it's fairly close quarters.
The cat is sitting on the other side of the privacy,
so in the driver's cab essentially.
Yeah, it's actually, you know how like the cars have like the two separate like seats, this one does it have a third seat in the middle, or is it just the two in the front?
In the driver's up front driver's area, it's just the driver's seat and the passenger seat. In the back, there's like two benches, essentially. Two really nice benches.
The cat is sitting like on the glove box, or if there is no glove box, in that center area between the seats, just like staring up at the other two when they enter the car.
All right.
So you'd have to reach into the driver's compartment to try to pet the cat, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Well... You want to go with me anyway.
I tell you what, I'll pet it when we get back to the office. I'm just not trying to freak out the guy who is currently driving the car that we're in.
Oh, don't worry about me. I don't have a problem with it. And you guys see that when he turns, there's a gentleman with like one of those little driver caps and one of those like butler suits that is all dressed for driving. It turns around. It's John's disheveled looking face looking back at you guys. As he turns the next corner. So how'd it go in there? You guys were in there way longer than I said. Get in, get out. Remember?
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, she had a lot of questions. She offered me a job.
Well, that was kind of the point, right?
Was it?
Well, I mean, you know, you don't need to like work for her full time, but we need to get an in. She has information for us and you're kind of the new me.
Well, that's been going swimmingly, I guess. But we also had to leave rather suddenly because I did remember you said get in and out, and there was an interesting individual who showed up.
Yeah, you guys met Hara, right?
Why do you know that?
Well, first of all, you guys did great in there, by the way. Really, really good idea.
How do you know
idea.
That?
Don't worry about it. It was a good thing you didn't take that rug, by the way. Opal would have been pissed. Because that's an antique. Anyway, you guys did a great job. And we got some great information. And I am going to be taking us. Well, actually, and he turns the next corner. Do you guys want to go straight to, what was that place that she mentioned? The mortuary, the police mortuary? Or do you guys have a different place you want to go to first?
I think that's probably going to be our best bet. I imagine she gave me this. And I'll pull out the calling card, and I imagine that's what we show them to get in.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, that's what I usually used to do back in the day.
Ox. But yeah, let's do that.
And, yeah, that thing's kind of like the fast pass. It's wonderful.
Huh. Asena, do you have any objections?
Asena's gonna like relax and her staff will turn back into the matches and she'll tuck them in her pocket.
All right, you now have a few matches.
Are you guys hungry? Do you want to stop somewhere or are you good to keep going?
I'm fine. I ate some sandwiches that
sure
were
did
there.
Oh, that's right, you guys got to eat. All right, fine. Well, you know what, I got my breakfast right here, and John just like is just
wait a second
sipping on like a little like canister of whiskey.
Should you be driving?
I mean, I'm fine. But if you'd like, Chester can drive. And John takes his hand off the wheel, and the cat like just like panically like jumps over and puts its little paws in the wheel and is trying to keep it straight.
The car starts to swerve a little bit.
Oh God!
I'm just like messing with cat. You. John puts the flask away and retakes the wheel. The cat like sighs, calms down, and just jumps back with the two of you, but it sits on the opposite bench facing you guys.
I'm gonna like poke
my I'm gonna
head
pet it.
Through the little window and just whisper to John and just say, "Is this a car?"
So when you go to pet it, Gaston, it kind of like shrinks away for a second and then goes to scratch at you. It doesn't actually scratch you, but it's kind of doing that thing that cats do where it's like, yo, get away. Don't touch me. Yeah. Doesn't full blown hiss, but its hair stands up. It bares its teeth and it does that little like, dude, if you come any closer, I'm going to get you.
And then Asena asks, is this a car?
I mean, I think it's a, what do they call it? Like, you know those pickups, but they have like the back end on top of it. I mean, it's
crossover.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're asking if it's a vehicle, yeah, it's totally a vehicle. Now, this isn't like some weird, you know, like I don't know, chariot with like a
Flintstones car.
Yeah, this isn't a Flintstones car. I'm not down here moving my legs. I'm, you know, I'm using a pedal and a gear. So, you know, yeah, but it's a real car.
She'll sit back down. And just be like, that was very confusing.
All right, the. Yes, it is a car. Heads up north.
By the way, is this isn't John's car, right?
No, this is not John's car. The
like John totally just like took the place of one of the drivers that was supposed to chaperone them, and duped the guy.
You are now basically driving a Donahue Institute vehicle from the motor. So you take the car,
borrowing.
You borrow the car,
You drive out of Greenvine, the fancy palatial estates of the old money, up through Mercury City, which is a much more working class sort of area. You pass the busy airport, Orchard Airfield. You even pass the bombed out ruins of Mercury Hospital, which 9 months after the attack that took place there is still under reconstruction. And you make your way through the crumbling brick tenements of Curtis Town, where you always feel like you have to watch your back and people are struggling to make their lives day by day. And as you do, the weather just sort of darkens and the clouds come back from the other day. And finally, you pull up into Old Town, the original settlement of Northport. And the city hall structure is just this massive square thing squatting on a couple of city blocks. It is where the mayor conducts business, and it's not an elegant structure. It's just this big, brutalist edifice. And you pull up alongside, you can see the police station over there, and as you get out of the car and get all set, we are going to go ahead and take a 5-minute break. So stay tuned, folks. In about 5 minutes, we'll be back. We'll get down to the mortuary, and we will see what happens.
The story continues next time on Coriander Society Adventures. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star review on the podcast platform of your choice. For more Casters and Castles adventures, visit our live stream at twitch.tv/castersandcastles.